Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, covering the legislature for the Las Vegas Review Journal. McKenna Ross joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino during the $150,000 Denim and Diamonds giveaways, with cash and free play drawings every Thursday and Saturday, and $30,000 in grand finale giveaways Saturday, May 31st, including a top prize of $20,000 guaranteed. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Meet Nevada HealthLink, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada HealthLink. Our plans are made for your plans.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain, moving 95% of our freight in the Silver State. And while essential, the road isn't always smooth. Supply chain disruptions, rising fuel costs, and unrealistic rules and laws that hamper our ability to serve our customers and country. Our prosperity and every sector of the economy, manufacturing, mining, medicine, and food from farm to table, is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, from the home of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We are delighted to welcome to the program for the first time McKenna Ross. She is a terrific reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal. I've enjoyed your work for the last few years. Thank you for doing this today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I have been semi-joking on this program for the last few months that with the film tax bill that's going through the two versions now, that we should invite Tyler Perry, who has done so well in Georgia, to explain how things work and what we can learn from him. You went me one better, and you did a complete investigation on exactly what's been going on in Georgia. Share with us the benefits and potential detriments of what Georgia has done and how that might apply to what we're doing here in Nevada.
Yeah, sure. Well, Georgia's a really interesting example of this state. I thought I really understood it when I had one of my first interviews with the industry representative in Georgia, the Screen Coalition Alliance there. You know, she told me that if you're not all in, then you're not seeing the benefits that they get. And I think that's really the story of Georgia. They've been doing their tax credit program since the 2000s, started in 2005. And really got rebooted in 2008 to the situation that it is today. And they basically have unlimited amounts of tax credits available to these companies. These companies can come in and, you know, apply as long as they're eligible for certain eligible expenses, then they can get their program approved or their production approved, and the program will accept as many as they deem, necessary that year. And it's really grown over the years to be, you know, $1 billion program and $1 billion industry. Now we know Georgia to be a huge name in the Hollywood space. And we can think of tons of different productions that have been done there. I mean, I can think of all these different Marvel things, all of these TV shows on Netflix, even movies that you wouldn't really expect to be filmed there, like the recent Saturday Night Live movie. Saturday Night was filmed in Georgia. So, you know, it all really depends on the investment that the state is willing to do, and then the business might come after.
So one of the things that surprised me was that they don't make a whole, the state of Georgia doesn't make a whole lot of money on this. Is that right?
Right. The fiscal return is pretty low for the state.
So,
but the industry group might argue that the return comes in the windfall in other parts of the Georgia economy. So it's kind of a trade-off for lawmakers here to decide if they expect to get all of their tax revenue back or if they want to realize their gains, you know, in a more social and an economic development way.
So one of the things that always strikes me about Georgia and to a lesser extent Canada, that also does a lot to promote and support the film industry, is seeing that Georgia logo at the end of every production is a huge bonus in terms of advertising. So that certainly wouldn't hurt Nevada. But I wonder, when they talk about the numbers of people that would move here for construction and then move here permanently, where in the world are they going to live?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this is the kind of question that shows that, you know, we can't look at this only through the lens of these two bills that are on the table right now. It is about, if you invest in the state in this way, how are you responding to the other existing, you know, challenges that this state is facing? So, you know, of course, the intention of the legislation from both Senator Lang and Assemblymember Howdy is to, you know, provide jobs for Nevadans, people living in the state. And they could, you know, they're the existing workforce that's already, you know, skilled in these kinds of jobs because we have so many production relevant jobs here in Las Vegas. But, you know, still we will need to upskill some people. And that's the education components of these bills. That being said, I think, you know, it's right to wonder how people from California might come to Nevada more if this does come to pass.
Yeah, I mean, because the numbers were pretty huge. I think the permanent staff was around 18,000, right?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. Well, but it was a pretty big number, you know, especially when we're considering, you know, what's going on. In talking to Steve Yeager, the speaker, and other members of the legislature, there was a lot of doubts about this. Is that the same feedback you're getting, and is that still continuing, or do you feel that the legislation is moving forward at this point in a positive way?
I think it's mixed. You know, maybe both things can be true at this point. There is definitely a lot to negotiate, but at the same time, there's clearly a lot of interest, because if this was a no, it would be shut down, you know, a while ago. However, both of these bills have, you know, met the first deadline that passed on Friday out of their committees. They're expected to go to their respective money committees. And next week we have first House passage. So, you know, it remains to be seen how, you know, how the lawmakers actually vote when the time comes. But I do believe that there is an interest, and perhaps it just needs to be negotiated. But I do think it also just depends on, you know, the state's budget overall. And so this is kind of one of those negotiations that I could see going until the end of session.
Do you expect a cavalcade of stars showing up from Hollywood and having their photos taken with all the legislators again?
I know that the front page of the RJ would love that if it happened.
Good thinking there. Good thinking. One of the things that I find interesting about these kind of proposals is the transferable tax credits. Because when you look at Tesla, which was a fantastic thing for Nevada, both of the Tesla deals, and certainly changed the face of northern Nevada forever. But Tesla actually made more money on the transferable tax credits by selling them to MGM and other gaming companies than they did selling cars. What's the feeling about that you're getting?
Well, I think that lawmakers don't necessarily address it too much because they have so many transferable tax credits in other sections of, you know, the state, like you just described. So maybe for them, it's just a, you know, a negotiating tactic or a point, like I said, in a tool in the economic development inbox. But I do think that, you know, for the larger public, there's not a lot of understanding of what a transferable tax credit is and how it's actually used. And so it kind of doesn't get as addressed as it could be.
One of the things that is a potential looming crisis to an extent is if Medicaid funding gets cut in the state. Now, Senator Robin Titus on this program said that we have monies that we could apply to that, the rainy day fund especially. And so that is not a major crisis. But giving up the amount of money that the film industry would like to see go towards, or at least the two companies that have joined together, is that part of the conversation? Do we do one or the other or both without us knowing what Medicaid's going to end up being?
Yeah, it is that balancing act. And I think that's why there is such a mixed reaction in the legislative building right now. I think people, the larger public is super interested in something like this. Every time I go to these hearings or even write a story about something like this, there's tons of feedback and lots of people share their opinions that whether they want it to come or they think that that money should be used on a state's problem elsewhere. There's just so much to consider. And so, maybe lawmakers have to consider what their public wants and how they want the state to invest in the future, versus, the pressing needs. And perhaps it's just one of those things that you can't really decide until you have all the numbers, which we have months until we really understand the full economic
Yes, actually, it's actually at this point less than 2 months. So yes, the clock is ticking. Now, is Summerlin versus UNLV as location, are either of those winning out at this point, or is that moot at this point?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of momentum behind the assembly bill. That's the location, the Summerlin Studios location. Two really large names behind it, Warner Brothers Studios and Sony Pictures Entertainment. Plus, with land that's already entitled and kind of ready for development by Howard Hughes Corporation, which obviously has a pretty large name here in Las Vegas as well. However, they're considering both equally, and I think it'll just come down to after they pass both of their houses, if they do that, how they work the two bills together.
Have you had any noise out of the governor's office as to what way the governor thinks on this?
No, we asked him in a recent interview how he felt about it, and he reiterated his point from last session, which was that he felt it was too much money to ask for. And at this point, I think that's the same concern, the ones that we just discussed with the other lawmakers. But he said that if it was a jobs bill, he'd be more interested. And so I think determining what that means and how you present that will be the obstacle that these groups have going forward.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with McKenna Ross from the Las Vegas Review-Journal after this timeout.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games, it's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue with our conversation with McKenna Ross. She is a reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covering a lot of action at the legislature. The governor's crime bill, that's a story that you reported on. What can you tell us about this that will help the public understand where the governor is going with this?
Yeah, the governor is really looking to strengthen some penalties and define other crimes in the bill. It's a really large bill. But it also has a big price tag on it. The fiscal note from the Department of Corrections for future biennia was more than $40 million per budget cycle. So I think that it expects to, have potentially more incarcerated folk, or at least just more costs on the criminal justice system that, could be incurred. And so there's a lot of pieces that would really strengthen penalties, lowering the retail theft crime threshold, addressing cyber stalking and DUI crimes. It really covers a large ground.
Yeah, to say the least. It's interesting to see in last session, the Speaker Yeager had no intention whatsoever of cutting back, for example, the dollar amount on retail crime. I wonder if things have changed when you look at the political landscape with the amount of independents versus Republicans and Democrats now in the state. I think that as I talk to people off the air, that there's a lot of concern about that they don't know where the voters are going to fall.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that's why the governor, sets such a large goal. Even at these press conferences, the media will ask him, how do you expect to get all of these things that you want done in your bill? But the other side has said it's a non-starter. And he's like, well, they've got things to negotiate. We've got things to negotiate. So I think that there's a lot that could be amended or addressed, perhaps even, just a middle ground found, or at least that's what each other is hoping.
The other part that plays into this, of course, is that we're already in the midst of a re-election campaign for all the constitutional officers. How do you think that part is playing into all of this?
Oh, I definitely think that it's important for Governor Lombardo to appear tough on crime. That's the, that's his brand as a former sheriff, but also that's the direction of the Republican Party and the point that he's always tried to make. And so, staying strong on positions that he has is only, to his credit during his campaign, as it starts. The other thing is, even though the field is just becoming decided on the other side, not even decided, it's being discussed, I should say, on the Democrat side. Right now, we expect Attorney General Aaron Ford to run for the Democrats. And just last week, former Governor Steve Sisolak said he would be, exploring potential re-election bid. So, for Governor Lombardo, staying the course, he has a fairly good approval rating is important for his future.
To say the least. All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back with McKenna Ross after this timeout.
Carson Valley Inn, hate your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Welcome to Story County. where history meets innovation. And a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with McKenna Ross, who's doing a terrific job covering the legislature for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. One of the things that, I guess it didn't surprise me, but the governor threatening to veto Joe Dalia's bill for medical aid in dying. In the past, it's been called the Death with Dignity Bill. This exists in other countries. It exists in Oregon, California. And I guess I wasn't surprised that the governor threatened the veto. But the question is, does this continue on through this session or is it dead for the session?
Well, it looks like it'll continue on April 10th. What was that, Friday? Man, the days go by so fast. No, Thursday. The select committee that was hearing this bill, that was the Assembly Select Committee on End of Life Care, they had a behind the bar session to recommend its passage. So they moved it out of the committee, you know, on the floor so that it could meet last week's deadline. I think that suggests that, you know, they want to see where this goes.
Well, one of the things that has always bothered me is that, you know, I think that, and this is me talking, not you, because you can't take a position on any of this stuff. But if I am in a horrible situation where I have some kind of illness, where I want to end my time on this planet, I think that's my business and nobody else's business. And the thing that bothers me about this is that there are lots of ways for me to be able to take my own life. I can do death by cop. I can put my head on a railroad track. I can turn on the gas at my house. I can turn on my car in the garage. It would be much nicer for everybody, especially the emergency management people, police, fire, etc., if I could just take some medicine and go to sleep and be done. So and Joe Dalia's speech, which I read, was extraordinary in talking about him and his father. What was your reaction to that? And I'm not asking for your opinion on the bill itself.
Well, I mean, how could you deny it was, you know, it was incredibly touching and heartbreaking to hear. He really, you know, was very honest in telling that story. And I think, it made it hard for anybody on any side of that issue to think about it in their, you know, logical way. But
can you share with the audience what he said roughly, and paraphrase it at least?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Assemblymember Dalia told the story of his father who was diagnosed with COPD, and the doctors told him that he would have a very difficult end of life where he would have basically a coughing fit that that never ended. And it sounds, you know, Dalia told of how his father considered going out of state because he didn't want to have his life end like that. But the doctor told him that he wasn't, you know, safe to travel and that it would be potentially, you know, his family could be liable for something if something were to happen to him on the way to Oregon or wherever he could go. And so, you know, they just decided to treat, you know, it with palliative care. And the hospice nurse told him that when the time came, you know, call and she would, you know, make him the pain relief cocktail, you know, that would help, ease him into the end of life. And that's not the experience that his dad had. Dahlia said that his dad, you know, coughed and suffered for 12 hours and could barely communicate. And when he did, it wasn't, you know, I love you. It was this hurts and his expressions of pain. And so, you know, that was so difficult to listen to. And I'm sure it was extremely difficult for him to tell, but it showed how much he thought this was a worthwhile bill. And many people feel the same.
Yes, and I certainly do. And I don't often take positions on things, but on this particular one, as I defend women's rights to be in charge of their own bodies, I think that all of us should be in charge of our own bodies. We only have about 30 seconds here, but I was curious just to get your thoughts on the Uber trial lawyer settlement. These two forces agreeing to hold off on any litigation for quite a long time. Just a quick response to that, please.
Yeah, I think that it just goes to show that you can get a deal done if you need to, because at the beginning of session, I heard a lot about this and how this could define the session in a way that the public might not quite understand. And then behind doors, it was figured out.
Amazing. Eva Segelblum will be on the program in a week or so, and we'll have more conversation for her. She heads up the lawyers group. I thank you so much for doing this. Please come back. I hope you enjoyed it, and keep on doing the great reporting.
Thanks.
Okay, and we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.